my pleasure to introduce our wonderful speaker tonight, Dr. Kai Sorensen, and he is speaking of May the Course Be With You. So we'll...
Not Jack. There we go. Wow. Well, so feeling grateful and humbled to be here with you today. I remember coming to the fellowship years and years ago when we were over in East Lansing, and I moved to Chicago and came back and found the community again, and now I feel really blessed to be a part of this gathering in our community, and grateful that you all came today. I started my journey learning a little bit about the law of attraction, I guess accidentally, as a lot of people do. Things just started showing up, and I never really believed in luck or coincidence or some kind of destiny. It just happened, and I always thought that there was something about me and what I was attracting, because I would either attract something that I really did want or I would attract something that I really didn't want. Never really understood the difference, and so a few years ago I started looking into doing some self-awareness, and in the past year I've really turned to the law of attraction, and it's been very good to me since then. One of the things that I wanted to start talking with you today about is very simple. As you see, I've got a cell phone charger in my hand. And you might wonder what in the world this has to do with the law of attraction, but I hope to demonstrate that for you. So Doug, would you put your hand out for me? Okay. This is the tip of the charger that goes into your cell phone, and this is the cord that is attached to it, and it's a magnet. And it just takes on the piece that you put into your phone. So you can use this with an iPhone or a regular phone or whatever the case might be, and it goes right into your phone. But my point about it is that it's a magnet. I don't have to do anything. No one has to do anything. It just attracts and connects. And to me, that's been a metaphor of how the law of attraction works. But in reality, I don't have to do anything, and neither do you. I'm going to be attracting what my vibration, in this case, the magnet vibration, is. And I'm going to be repelling those vibrations that are not connected to me. The challenge that a lot of people have with the law of attraction is that sometimes we will attract people and events and circumstances in our lives that seem unwanted, that seem tragic, that seem sad, that seem unimaginable many times. We see the horrors of things going on in the planet, and we wonder how law of attraction could be working or how God's will could be working in these sorts of circumstances. So today I want to talk a little bit about this. My title of my presentation is May the Course Be With You, because my premise is that there's only one course. Whether we talk about the Bible or the Quran or the Book of Mormon, or we talk about A Course in Miracles, A Course in Love, A Course in Life, whether we're Protestant or Jewish or Catholic, whether we're United Christian Methodists, Quakers, or members of Assembly of God, or even Korean Methodists. There's only one course. There's only one path. And that's what I want to talk a little bit about today and show you how this one course we're all a part of, and that there's a real energetic alignment when we're on course and when we're not. How many of you have ever been in an airplane? Wow, just about everyone. Cool. Perhaps you are aware then that 98% of the time that the airplane is in flight, it's off course. Did you know that? That's why we have pilots, and that's why we have auto correction in autopilots, because the plane's always off course. And if you imagine getting on a plane in Chicago and going to Hawaii, if that plane is 1 degree off, it's going to crash into the ocean and never find Hawaii. So we have to continually recorrect. Even though we're on the course, we need to recorrect to make sure that we're getting to the destination that we want to. And if we're unconscious about it, the plane's going to crash in the Pacific. But if we're conscious, then we can be sure that we're going to land where it is that we want to and intend to. So I'd like to share some information that I have collected from some of the other courses that are out there. And before I do that, I want to just let you know that the bookmobile arrived here today. Not only the books that I brought, but you can see on the table there are some books over here that have been graciously donated to us. And if you're interested, please feel free to buy one. It's a donation effort. And there's a lot of really good books over there, many that I could easily have up here on my table as examples. So I'm going to start with a meditation. So if you would close your eyes. And I'll ask you to imagine that you are sitting here in the Allen Street Market at the Fellowship. And in your mind's eye, I'm going to ask you to get up out of your chair and walk out the door into a beautiful field, a sunny, aromatic, warm day in a field, a grassy field. And it so fills you with joy to be in such a beautiful place of nature. And you sit down to enjoy that particular experience, that particular vibration that you've gone yourself into. Let us be still an instant and forget all things we ever learned, all thoughts we had, and every preconception that we hold of what things mean and what their purpose is. Let us remember not our own ideas of what the world is for. We do not know. Let every image held of everyone be loosened from our minds and swept away. Be innocent of judgment, unaware of any thought of evil or of good that ever crossed your mind of everyone. Now you know him not, but you are free to learn of him and learn of him anew. Only be quiet. You will need no rule but this. Let your practicing today lift you above the thinking of the world and free your vision from the body's eyes. Only be still and listen. Simply do this. Be still and lay aside all thoughts of what you are and what God is, all concepts you have learned about the world, all images you hold about yourself. Empty your mind of everything it thinks is either true or false, good or bad, of every thought it judges worthy, and all the ideas of which it is ashamed. Hold on to nothing. Do not bring with you one thought the past has taught, nor one belief you have ever learned before from anything. Forget this world. Forget this course, and come with wholly empty hands unto your God. And now in your mind's eye, remember coming back into the room and sitting back in your chair and taking a deep breath and coming back present. That meditation comes from a book called Gifts from the Course in Miracles. And it's one that I ran across recently, and it's a wonderful book talking about some of the excerpts from the Course and how you can integrate them into your life. Well, if you're a student of Law of Attraction, or even if you're not, you may be aware that there is a woman on the planet named Esther Hicks who goes into a trance in her presentations and channels non-physical beings through her body and through her speech. And she travels around the country talking to people about the Law of Attraction from this place of being what she calls Abraham. The first book that she and her husband Jerry wrote was called Ask and It Is Given. And in this book, they begin to set out some of the premises and basis of what the Law of Attraction is all about. One of the things they talk about is that vibration is vibration. It's kind of like the phone charger that I just showed you. There's a vibration there that causes the magnet to stick to the other piece. And she talks a lot about how our vibration is attracting other similar vibrations, be they positive or be they not so positive. And so what she talks about is that, you know, we have an idea about what we want to create in our lives, and we say, this is what I want. This is something I'd like to be. This is something I'd like to have. This is something I'd like to do. And so we create a vibration around that, and it's created in the eternal source energy that we have to align with in order for it to make it come together. So my vibration is different than the vibration that I want. And so I have to sort of move in that direction to have that manifest. So there's this variance between me and that variation or that vibration. And so what I can do is to try to turn my vibration more in alignment with what that vibration is. And the more that I do that, the more I move closer to that, and it begins to manifest and show up in my life. So when people say, well, geez, Kai, or geez, Abraham, I've been wanting this and I've been trying to attract this in my life, and where's my stuff? I just love it when she says that. Where's my stuff? Where's my stuff? People are saying, I'm focused on this and it's not showing up. And what she says is, you can't get your stuff from here if your vibration for it is over there. You've got to align your vibration and then it will start to show up. So how do you know what your vibration is? Well, it's a pretty easy way to determine what your vibration is. You look in the mirror. You see what's going on around you. Are the people that you want to have in your life the people that you're in relationship with? Or are the people that you're in relationship with not the people you want in your life? In other words, to figure out where your vibration is, all you have to do is look around you, because you've attracted everything that's in your life. Everything that has ever happened to you or to me, I attracted. Everything. And so if there are things that I don't like that are in my life, I have to recognize that I need to change my vibration to find things that make me happy and that I want to have in my life. And when I do that, I can then move closer to manifesting what I want. And as I do that, things show up. So how do you know if they're showing up? How do you know if that's what's going on? Well, it's pretty easy. Does the stuff you want start showing up? If it starts showing up, then it's probably a pretty good vibration. My oldest daughter, Kara, seems to have a very congruent vibration with playing poker. And she plays Texas Hold'em, and she went down to Firekeepers last weekend and was 45th out of 1,400 people who entered the tournament, won $3,400 playing poker. And she can just go to a slot machine and sit down, and the money just starts coming out of the machine. She went to Vegas a few months ago, and then a penny machine won 91,000 pennies. Now, 91,000 of anything's a lot. That was $910. But still, it's amazing. And she's had this vibration since she was a little girl. I don't understand it. But I do know that when that happens, she's in alignment with what it is that she's doing, and she's happy. And so that's coming into her life. Okay. Now, what's the other side of that? Well, I'm sure all of you have heard the stories of people who have won large lotteries. And 3 years later, they're broke, they're bankrupt, they've lost it all, whatever the case might be. So you might say, well, how did that happen? Well, they created a vibration and it attracted something that they wanted. They were in line with that. But their vibration in their life didn't change, even with the money. And so they lost it all. So this notion of a variation is really what we want to focus on if we want to move forward and have the things in our life that we want to create. I'd like to share with you some testimonials and some quotes from some of the books that I've been studying with, a little bit about this notion of vibration and the law of attraction, that there's only one course, and you'll see this throughout all of the readings that we're going to have here. There was a book that inspired Jerry Hicks long before he met Esther. He was going around the country talking about a book, and maybe some of you remember it. It's called Seth Speaks. It was one of the first books to come out around the law of attraction. It was written by Jane Roberts. And she says this, You've been given perhaps the most awesome gift of all, the ability to project your thoughts outward into physical form. The gift brings a responsibility, and many of you are tempted to congratulate yourself on the success of your lives and blame God, fate, and society for your failures. In like nuances, mankind has a tendency to project his own guilt and his own errors upon a Father God image, who it seems must grow weary of so many complaints. The fact is that if each of you creates your own physical reality, and in mass, you create both the glories and the terrors that exist within your earthly experiences. Until you realize that, you are at the creator, you are the creators, and you will refuse to accept this responsibility. And so for me, that's really the key here. It's easy, and we've talked about this in my Law of Attraction group, it's easy for us to think about the great things the Law of Attraction can bring to us when we get our vibrations. What's challenging for most people is to figure out why bad stuff happens to me. Because people will say, well, I didn't attract a car wreck. I didn't attract a bankruptcy. I didn't attract people who are going to treat me badly and a boss who doesn't like me and bitches at me all the time. I didn't attract that. And the Law of Attraction would say, yes, you did. You might not consciously know it, but your vibration is creating it and attracting it to you. Some of the other quotes. Here's one from Wayne Dyer. He wrote in his book, Manifest Your Destiny. There is a power within you that allows you to form a thought or picture. This mental picturing power is the energy of attraction that is in all creative processes. Moreover, it is identical with the power of attraction. This power is the very substance of life. Marianne Williamson in A Return to Love. Sometimes a miracle is a change in material conditions, such as physical healing. At other times, it is a psychology or emotional change. It is a shift not so much in the objective situations as it is a shift in how we perceive the situation. James Hillman, who has written a lot of books supporting the men's movement and men becoming more conscious of their emotions, writes, "You have to give up the life you have to get the life that's waiting for you." You have to change your vibration. Many of you know Bill Dietrich. He's teaching A Course in Miracle, or A Course in Love. And there's a companion book that Joan wrote called A Course in Life. One of the things I want to say is that I've really been inspired over the past few months to have Bill come and speak, and have Rex come and speak, and have Matt come and speak, all from a different perspective, but really about the same course. It's the same theme. It doesn't matter whether we're talking about A Course in Miracles, A Course in Love, the great poem that Matt shared with us a couple of weeks ago, or even the work that Rex does with Michael Rice in terms of reinterpreting the Bible and going back to the Hebrew. It's all the same. Here's what Joan writes in A Course of Life. A Course in Miracles tells us that whatever we suffer, experience, loss, or fear, or are dissatisfied with the outcome of a given event, it is because that outcome is what we thought we deserve. Whatever is present in your life now is there because at some point in the past, you opened your mind and said, "Come in." She goes on to say, "We are continuously creating our own reality. Our greatest discovery is that we are making it all up. Once we awaken to this truth, we can begin to live in a pleasing and fulfilling way." We're making it all up. Beth's over there smiling. She knows that. How about some information from the Bible? A lot of people study the Bible and think that that's somehow incongruent with the Law of Attraction. Well, Jesus said, "According to your faith, it is done unto you." According to your faith, it is done unto you. The spiritual truth is that whatever we believe is what we see. And St. Paul in the New Testament, "Things which are seen are not made of things which do appear." Things which are seen are not made of things which do appear. They are what we believe them to be. In Law of Attraction, the first book that Esther and Jerry put out, she puts it this way. Whatever you are giving your attention to causes you to emit a vibration, and the vibration that you offer equal your asking, which equals your point of attraction. However, if there is something you desire that you currently do not have, and you put your attention upon your current state of not having it, then the Law of Attraction will continue to match that not having it vibration, so you continue to not have that which you desire. And that's the law. In other words, in the Law of Attraction, there is no. There is no not. It doesn't exist in the universe. And so if your thought is, well, I don't want that, then the Law of Attraction here is, I want that. And that's why it comes in. So we have to continually measure and take the pulse of what our thoughts are. If we believe, because of our upbringing, that we are unworthy, if we're not good enough, if that's what we've been told, if I'm not smart, I can't do this, I can't do that, if that's what we believe, then that's going to color our vibration and the way that we look at the world. And so a lot of times, you may say, well, geez, I'd really like to have this. But the vibrational distance is so far because you're holding yourself back. I remember a few years ago listening to an audio tape of a self-help guru in Australia named Stuart Wild. Maybe some of you have read his work. And it's really fascinating stuff. I just love listening to him. And Dyer and Deepak went over and toured with him in Australia a few years ago before he died. And Stuart put it this way. He said, you know, if you've always wanted to have a Maserati in your life, you've always thought, geez, I'd really like to have a Maserati, and you're 92 and you're on your deathbed and you've never seen a Maserati, your vibration is pretty far from that. But if you think, geez, I'd really like to have a Maserati, and one runs over your foot, then you're aligned. And that's like the way, that's kind of the way I think Abraham and Esther talk about it is, once you're aligned, whatever you think of will manifest. Now, one of the things that Dyer said years ago that I always paid a lot of attention to, and I want to share this with you. He says that many times what happens to us is we'll set out and we'll say, this is what I want. I want this kind of relationship. I want to meet this kind of person that I can go to work for and have as my boss. I want this kind of work. I want these kinds of people to come to my workshops or my yoga or whatever it happens to be what I'm doing. I want these people to show up from when I do my performance with my band so that I have a nice audience there and they'll appreciate what I'm doing. I want all those things to happen for me. And, gee, there's nobody here. Nobody came to my class. Nobody showed up when I played the guitar. What happened? That's what I said I wanted, but it didn't really happen that way. Oh, maybe it was the wrong night. Maybe it was the wrong time. See, what Dyer said was many times we are so funnel in our vision of what it is that we think we want that unless it shows up like that, we don't get it, and it might just be right here. It might be right next to us. And so what everybody in the Law of Attraction says is open up your perspective and think, well, this is what I want, but does it have to look exactly like this? Now, we've all heard stories, if you've done any reading in Law of Attraction, of people who have said, oh, I'm going to cut this picture out of this house I want. I really want to have this house. I really want to cut. I cut it out, and I think about it, and I put it on a vision board, and I keep looking at that house, and I keep looking at that house, and I keep looking at that house. But every day, you know, I come home from work, and I plop down in front of my TV, and I watch TV for 8 hours or 6 hours, and I go to sleep, and I get up the next day and do the same thing. But I really want this house. But, you know, we're not doing anything to make it happen. But then we'll hear a story, if you've seen the movie The Secret, you'll hear the people in there will talk about that, where they envisioned this house, and then later they ended up buying the house that they had a picture of. Well, how does that happen? Well, because they move to make the vibration a reality. So you can't just sit and do nothing and think that I'm going to manifest. You actually have to be a participant in your life. It's just not going to plop on your doorstep. My daughter's not going to win $3,400 by staying at home. She's got to go to the casino in order to do it. She's got to play and play and play in order to learn how to be better at it. And then it comes. Novella Williams wrote a book called Thought Vibration Workbook, and I really wanted to bring this to us today, in part because of how much I care about this woman sitting next to me here. We often hear repeated the well-known mental science statement, thoughts are things. And we say these words over without consciously realizing just what is the meaning of that statement. We even have a song about it, don't we? Our thoughts are things. If we fully comprehended the truth of this statement and the natural consequences of the truth, we should understand many things which have appeared dark to us and would be able to use this wonderful power, thought force, just as we use any other manifestation of energy. This matter of thought attraction is a serious one. When you stop and think of it, you will see that a man or a woman really makes his or her own surroundings, although she or he blames others for it. So we say our thoughts are prayers. We say thoughts are things. We have a song about it. But do we really consciously internalize that? Because if we did, then we would be responsible for everything that's happening to us, because whatever I'm thinking is what's going to happen. Just so you have some awareness, I've got the Course in Miracles here with me. And the Course in Miracles, if you are a student of it, has a very interesting section because it talks about the five stages of developing trust. And those stages are a period of undoing, a period of sorting out, a period of relinquishment, a period of settling down, a period of unsettling, and a period of achievement. Those are pretty much the steps that you would take to go from where you are to where you want to be. So I would really encourage you to take a look at those five stages of developing trust. They're in the Course in Miracles. I'd also like to refer you to chapter 17, verse 3 in A Course in Miracles. When you maintain that there must be an order of difficulty in miracles, all you mean is that there are some things you would withhold from truth. You believe truth cannot deal with them only because you would keep them from truth. Very simply, your lack of faith in the power that heals all pain arises from your wish to retain some aspects of reality for fantasy. In other words, if it's not showing up, it may be because you don't really believe in the law of attraction, that somehow this doesn't apply to me. It would be like, oh, well, gravity doesn't apply to me. Okay. Or this magnet on the end of my phone here doesn't apply to me. Now, as I said, there are other ways of looking at this. Some of you are familiar with Carolyn Mize, and she's got the sacred contracts. This is a way for you to develop a plan for your life and develop some contracts with yourself to get you closer to that vibration. The human magnet syndrome, this is a good one if you're looking for a better relationship. Talks a little bit about why it is we attract people that we don't really have a matching vibration with, like codependence. Four agreements. The one that is most important here would be, anybody want to venture a guess which one of the four agreements might be the one most relevant? Don't take it personally. Don't take it personally is really at the heart of law of attraction. And of course, an oldie but a goodie, Russell Cromwell, Acres of Diamonds. If you're not familiar with this, Russell Cromwell toured the country and gave speeches about the Acres of Diamonds. And basically the story is that there was a true story, a man in South Africa who decided that he wanted the riches. And so he went all over the world talking about how to create these riches and eventually died. And then diamonds were discovered on his property in South Africa. So he searched the world over, and there it was, right in his own yard, okay? There's some really great books over here as well, from others that you may know, and there are other books of Law of Attraction, not just Abraham. So Jack Canfield's Key to Law of Attraction. Oh, look, thoughts are things. How about that? Secrets of Attraction, and the Universal Laws. We just got this one the other day. It's pretty thin. In fact, we couldn't find it earlier today and discovered that we'd been reading it in the car and we put it up above the visor and we'd forgotten it was there. It was so skinny we couldn't find it. To manifest desires and bring closer your most treasured ambitions, you have to channel your focus on the energies you want to attract for as long as it takes to attract them. Unfortunately, giving up hope or quitting short of the goal line happens all too often. When people don't see results or get instant gratification, doubt creeps in and they begin shifting their focus. So remember to stay focused and be patient. To keep those positive frequencies in tune with your desires, you can learn to use some techniques. One of these techniques is creative visualization. In almost a meditative state that some refer to as daydreaming, you can focus your energies and feelings on a particular need or desire. Painting a picture in your mind of having your desire or achieving a goal can create intense feelings and emotions. And if all of these sources haven't been enough to convince you today, I'll turn your attention to Dove candies. The little Dove candies that you can buy in the store. The only person you are, it's all wrinkled here, the only person you are destined to become is the person you decide to be. Namaste.